Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
He is the great Paul Feinbaum. He's the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show. He's from Memphis. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Paul, how you been, man? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm great, guys. I missed talking, and more than anything, I miss Memphis. I keep trying to figure out a reason to come back. Maybe you guys can create an opportunity.
Well, how about access to the college football playoff? Would that be enough?
Hey.
That would at this rate, Memphis will have 10 games. I mean, because it pretty much, we're about to expand this thing. 12 doesn't really seem enough, does it?
No, it might as well be 68.
Right.
You know, let's just go to a straight NCAA tournament, you know.
Since we have really never found four good teams, the perfect logic of college athletics is let's just triple it or quadruple it or just, you know, let's let everybody in.
So do you not like it? You sound like you don't like it.
No, I'm kidding. I had a commissioner, actually a retired commissioner, call me the other day, and I was somewhat mocking him. He was just saying, well, I don't know why we're doing this. We couldn't find four. I'm like going, I want to say, are you currently working right now? And he said, I mean, obviously not. This is done, I for all the negativity that I just played around with, I think it's a big moment in college athletics because four didn't work. It didn't matter whether there were four good teams or not. It just wasn't working. It wasn't drawing attention. It wasn't drawing excitement. So give them credit. Instead of just going to the next level, which was six or eight, they went to 12, which lets the whole party in. And you know, even though there's no justification for it, it doesn't matter to me. I think assuming they do it in 2 years and not wait till the end of the contract, it's going to be a boom for college football.
So can you see a day, Paul, where Memphis is the AAC champion, they're the 8 seed hosting a 9? Can you see that happening? Will the Memphises be able to pull that off?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, people are worried, well, this guarantees the Pac-12 a spot. No, it doesn't. It doesn't guarantee anyone,
right,
really. And I think it's good for the group of five, or really, that's not even really a good phrase to use anymore, because I think Memphis, UCF, Cincinnati, schools like that are really a cut above that.
Yeah.
Does this kill off realignment, in your opinion?
No. And I know that may sound like a strange answer, but I've heard more whispers about the realignment in the last couple of days, and I think there's a theory going around that some of the leagues just are not going to be able to hold up. You know, take your pick on which one of the Power Five you don't think will make it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if let's say you're the Big 12 or you're the Pac-12 and you don't get in every year now, you're going to have to start thinking about doing something else. And the one commonality that those two leagues have, the Big 12 does not have a conference network, which is really important. And the Big 12 has a conference network, which is really unimportant because they've done such a poor job with it. So I could see it. Not to start rumors,
sure,
but They will deny it, but I'm telling you right now, if Oklahoma could figure out a way to get out of the Big 12, mm-hmm. they would be in the SEC tomorrow.
We'll have our graphics team go ahead and sort of get this ready for aggregation, Paul. That Paul Farmer.
By the way, that was off the record.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Look, we went through this in Memphis in 2016, right? We all kind of pinned our collective hopes on the Big 12 expanding and taking Memphis, and of course, Memphis never really even got close. This time around, what would conference realignment mean? And I know. You don't necessarily. We don't bring you on to be the Memphis expert, but you are a college football mind. What would that mean for Memphis and Houston and Cincinnati and those schools like Memphis?
Well, I may not be a Memphis expert, but my introduction to college football was at the Liberty Bowl Stadium, so I feel like I've
it's in your I've blood
got some connection.
That's right.
Yeah, I've even been to high school games at Crump Stadium. I don't know. I'm
there you go.
It's not there any longer.
Still there.
I think good. I think it's good for those schools because they really made a lot of noise and they're factors on the scene. And I know last year, you know, we had this love affair with Coastal Carolina and Louisiana, and that's okay. I mean, it was a different type of year, but I think Memphis is strong enough. Back to the Big 12. I mean, what did they gain by wasting everyone's time for a couple of months and then end up, you know, choking at the end? I mean, I just don't like the trajectory of that league, and I think they are clearly the most vulnerable. And you know, who knows what Texas is thinking right now? I mean, they're looking across the state and seeing Texas A&M is one of the top schools in the country. They're on their fourth or fifth coach since Mack Brown, and Oklahoma State, they're always good for a choke job toward the end of the season with Mike Gundy. Iowa State is a factor, but guys. Do you really want to pin your hopes on Iowa State as your marquee school other than Oklahoma?
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Right.
And so I think that is certainly the conference that we're talking about that would dissolve or merge or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. That would be the one. We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show here from Memphis. Always appreciate having him on the show. Last thing on the playoff and sort of the impact that it could have. Would Josh Heupel have left UCF for Tennessee if this model was enacted?
I think he would have for this reason. I think Heupel was smart enough to look around and go and say to himself, whatever I do here, it won't be enough. After 17 with Scott Frost, I think he was always going to be in the shadow of that perfect season. I still hear from UCF fans to this day who want to go out on the street and fight about UCF having a better team in Alabama that year. And I'm stupid because I keep falling for it. And you know the current Tennessee coach and the current Tennessee AD, the Tennessee AD made a lot of noise when he was at UCF. And I just to me he made the right decision. He's got a couple of years of a free pass in Knoxville. I mean, we're now. I said this the other day on our program. If Josh Heupel, you know, has a chance to be bowl eligible this year at Tennessee, I'm going. Did I say that? I mean, Philip Fulmer got fired for not competing for championships,
right.
And everyone else has failed since then. And now we're talking about Tennessee as if they can just get to a bowl game this year. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter if it's in the contiguous United States. That would be great. That's how far that program has fallen.
Paul, obviously been a lot of talk. The U.S. Supreme Court decision comes down yesterday, 9-0, siding against the NCAA, and saw you this morning on Get Up, have heard you say it, that it's over for the NCAA. This is the beginning of the end. Just go ahead. Hadn't had the funeral yet, but you might as well go ahead and have it. What does it look like on the other side, Paul? Once we get there, who's calling the shots in an ideal situation? Is it a smaller NCAA group? What are we looking at on the other side in an ideal situation?
We're still waiting for a coalition or a cartel to come out of where we are right now. And 5 years from now, somebody will call and say, well, I thought you said it was over. I mean, it's over in theory because
right.
the NCAA, and I won't waste everyone's time on doing a law school class here, but they did not have to go this road.
Mm-hmm.
Their arrogance and haughtiness and self-importance pushed them to the edge. And they walked into a trap of which they did not have the guns to get out of it. And it was really I'm just sorry the Supreme Court didn't have 14 men and women on the court, so it'd be more than 9-0 because that's how badly they got stuffed yesterday. And what's going to happen now is somebody else is going to file a case. Mm-hmm. May take a while. That will crush the NCAA, and it will crush them primarily from the standpoint of paying players. And I think back to, you know, what Memphis State went through, the University of Memphis went through a couple of years ago, and the eligibility issues. And I think all that's out the window now, guys. I mean, you unless you're caught on video of dropping a Lamborghini in front of a player, you're probably not going to get caught.
Well, Memphis certainly hopes that, you know, that is the case when this IRP ruling eventually comes down, whenever that may be. We are, of course, talking to Paul Feinbaum. Catch him on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Always appreciate his time. The sweeping impacts of the NIL, right? We just talked about sort of, you know, what it can mean for the NCAA. But what will it mean, you know, for these individual schools who are, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Does it exacerbate the inequality? Does it help a little bit at the margins with inequality, just from on a school to school basis, right? What does this look like?
Oh, I think it's going to create more inequality. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't have a fervent fan base, you're done. But you know, a school like Memphis, we all know, you know, especially in now in football and always in basketball, there was a core group that was going to support the program through thick or thin. If you have an ambivalent fan base, you're going to get killed.
Yep.
Because you're not going to have anybody to support, you know, what we're talking about here, which is finding ways to give players more money. And we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars here.
Sure.
You know, other than in the extreme, we're talking about giving players a chance to make a little money, which I think they're entitled to now. And I mean, the only people that are really against this are the leadership of college athletics and right, probably the presidents and the commissioners. I mean, they don't want to act like it, but I mean, the presidents of the big schools and of the small schools, they're the ones that support the NCAA. They are the same ones who just gave the NCAA president Mark Emmert a new contract. If you guys did the job that he has done, I mean, you would be out on the street tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Memphis. We had this conversation yesterday. They don't have the contract money, right? They can't, you know, the AAC doesn't even come close to what, you know, the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, they don't even come close. But, like, let's just use this for an example, Paul. Like, you would not typically say as good a job as Ryan Silverfield has done in recent years. Like, Mississippi State would usually beat out Memphis for a recruit in football, right? But now, with the NIL, and let's just say all things are equal, and it's Starkville commerce versus, you know, the city of Memphis's commerce. Like, can Memphis and should Memphis be expected to beat Starkville and a Mississippi State on a kid regularly under these new sort of guidelines and this new landscape?
I think it's entirely possible, and you just mentioned maybe, you know, at least in the SEC, one of the most vulnerable schools, because, you know, as great as the fan base is for Mississippi State, it's not a very large, you know, let's say you go into Jackson, Mississippi, you're not really sure what you're getting there. It's probably more Ole Miss than Mississippi
right.
State. Memphis clearly is. So Columbus, Mississippi, I mean, I'm not being critical. You can get a good meal there, but is there enough there? And where Memphis is just so big and the Tigers are so important. So I think it's going to change the entire landscape of college athletics. You know, who will do well? A school like Georgia. Not only is Athens a fervent college town, Atlanta's around the corner.
Right.
I mean, Tuscaloosa, forget, you know, it's got Birmingham. You're going to need something to help support you. Because, I mean, even though, you know, there's a perception from the average fan, oh, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to, you know, fork over 50, 100. They're not. I mean, this is, I mean, all of us are trying to make a living. And, you know, with everything else going on in the world, you know, supporting our favorite college football team after we've already paid for the tickets, paid for scholarship money, paid for licensing, it's not a cheap endeavor.
No, you're exactly right. And then, you know, every time we have you on, we have to ask you a Memphis basketball question. The latest news in the Memphis basketball world is that Larry Brown is most likely going to be on staff at the University of Memphis as an assistant coach for Penny Hardaway. What do you think?
I just need to know how old he is, first of all.
80.
Before I even answer.
He'll be 81. Well, yeah. By the time the season starts, he'll be 81.
Still young. What do you think he was, 95?
I wasn't sure. So before I gave a flippant answer, I just wanted to make sure. You know, he's 2 years older than the president of the United States. So why shouldn't he be an assistant coach?
Yeah. I mean, I might have gone with a different 80-year-old, but I the point is, if you can run the country.
Okay. Bob Dylan just turned 80. Paul McCartney turned 70.
Wow.
I mean, see, the problem I'm having, guys having grown up in the 60s and 70s, all of my heroes are now turning 80. So I'm thinking, Larry Brown at 80? He's still got a good. I mean, hey, Dick Vitale is what?
That's right.
105?
Well, how about Hubie Brown's like 88, and he's still calling basketball games.
Sharply.
It is. It's not just because I'm in my mid-60s, but everyone now is 80 in my world. So,
yep. Vitale just turned 82.
I feel younger every day.
Yeah, so, it's the fountain of youth over there at Memphis Basketball. That is certainly what they're trying to capture. Paul, man, great
really
stuff
enjoy your
as
time,
always.
Paul. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Yep. He is Paul Finebaum. Catch him on the Paul Finebaum Show on ESPN Radio, SEC Network. Great to talk to him. As always, yeah. I mean, I can only hope, while we're on the topic of, being 80-plus, I can only hope that I am as sharp as Hubie Brown is at 87. I mean, that dude, to be calling a freaking basketball game, 87?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that...
Vitale's 82. He's still relatively sharp.
Yeah, but
the hearing's the one thing, but the sharp on the game, he's still relatively sharp.
Yeah, I guess you would... Yeah, I would agree
he
with
is.
That.
It's not just all screaming and repeating himself.
You're right. But,
when
Hubie,
that game's going, he's
Hubie's
still
breaking down the game.
Oh,
man.
No doubt. No
Hubie's
doubt.
Still saying, like, yo, this is what's happening. This is what this guy's tendencies
he's
are.
He's amazing.
You know?
He truly is.
I'd take him back with the Grizz, you know? I would certainly, if he wanted to come coach the Grizz tomorrow, I'd be like, Hubie, come on down, brother.
How long did Dr. Jack Ramsey, ESPN, had him for a long time before, in terms of having him on?
Yep.
He died at the age of 89.
Yep.
At that point, he wasn't still on. But he had to be in his mid, his around
last,
that Hubie.
His last year doing the finals for ESPN Radio was 2012. So he would have been 87.
Yeah, 87 years old.
Yeah.
I just remember him sort of much like Hubie, always being sharp on it, ESPN, to the point that ESPN had him on for hits all the time. He was still breaking it down.
I mean, that's the
thing. Dr. Jack, God rest his soul.
I mean, that's the kind of life you pray to live. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like to be in your 80s and still, have, cogent thoughts and opinions, where you're not just drooling all over yourself. That is, I tell my daughter all the time, do not put me in a nursing home. Just let me wither away at home.
Well, hopefully you'll be on somebody's sideline, John. You'll be coaching like Larry Brown.
That's right. I think you recognize what I bring to a program. I was shooting threes for it. It was cool. I really was. Anyway, thanks to Paul Finebaum for joining us on the show today. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Mike Golic Jr. going to join us at 125. We'll continue the conversation about the NIL. Of course, he played at Notre Dame. Also get his thoughts on Carl Nassib, the Las Vegas Raider, who yesterday became the first active player to come out as gay. So we will talk to Mike Golic Jr. about all of that and more at 125. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.